Welcome. This is a structured, idealized daily routine. You can follow along with this guidance and pause it at any point that you like. Let's get started. So, assuming you've just woken up, the very first thing is to ask yourself, who is having this experience? Out of nowhere, a day has appeared. Out of nowhere, a world has appeared. A few seconds back, there was no world. Now there is a world. Who is having this experience? And the simple answer to that is, I am. I'm having this experience. And so then you ask again, who am I? And the answer to who am I is not words. The answer to who am I is an awakened curiosity, is a returning to the source of attention, is a kind of silence. This is one of those questions where the silence itself is the answer. So abide in that silence, in that not knowing. So one more time. Who is having this experience? I am. Who am I? So this can also be called meditation. You've just woken up, and right away you've begun the very powerful practice. You've begun questioning your experience, inquiring into your experience. You can sit up in bed and just look at the room that you're in. Even if it's dark, it doesn't matter. And just notice that you can see different things in the room. You can probably see a bed. You can probably see legs and hands. But beyond a point, in your direct experience, there's no face. In your direct experience, there's no head. Beyond a point, strangely, there's just a room. This is called the headless way. So it's nice to realize in the morning that actually you don't have a head. You just have a space. A nice way of saying is, I don't have a face. I just have a space. And I always wear my face a few feet away in a reflection, in a mirror. And the further the mirror goes, the more it changes. It becomes a body. It becomes a room. It becomes a house. It becomes a world. It becomes a galaxy. The further the mirror goes, the more who I perceive myself as changes. But at zero distance, I don't have a face. I'm just space. And the space has no age, it has no time. This is how we start peeling away the conditioning that I am this body and I am this mind. You realize, no, I am the presence within which body and mind appear, different states of body and mind appear. So this is a shift from person to presence. A wonderful thing to start our day with. And one practice I find really useful at this point is the practice called interstitial journaling. I have found that my most productive days have always included interstitial journaling. The word interstitial means in the gaps. So interstitial journaling is journaling in the gaps. Gaps between what? Gaps between two activities. And it's done throughout the day. You can do it on a notepad, you can do it on your phone. You'll note down the time. So whatever the time is, you, for example, right now my watch says 6:15 a.m. So if I was interstitial journaling now, I would say 6:15 a.m. I'd say, what just happened? So what just happened was I practiced self-inquiry and the headless way. How am I feeling? I'm feeling pretty alert, pretty present. And what's next? What's next is the rest of my morning routine. So for example, the next step would be gratitude. And the simple act of noticing the time, checking what just happened, how you're feeling now, and what you're going to do next, activates the frontal lobes of the brain, the neocortex. And instead of living in a habitual rut, you start living more consciously. So interstitial journaling throughout the day tends to keep you much more present, much more intentional, and you live a much more volitional life as opposed to living an automatic life. It's interesting that, and I noticed this in myself, maybe you've noticed it too, that when you meditate, sometimes you're very aware of the time. Has it been 10 minutes? Has it been half an hour? How long has it been? But when you're on social media, you don't even notice half an hour went, 1 hour went, 3 hours went. Right? That's because it's the habitual parts of the brain. But you do something more intentionally, become more conscious. So we can use interstitial journaling in this way. And now we'll practice gratitude. So why don't you put your 10 fingertips together, lotus of gratitude, 10 fingertips together. We're going to think of 10 things we're grateful for. If you want to close your eyes, you can. Every time you think of something, you'll open one lotus petal. Go ahead. Whenever you're done, you bring your hands in your heart, just feeling grateful. And release your hands. And so you can either practice the lotus of gratitude, or if you want to gratitude journal, you can write down in your journal what you're grateful for. That's another great thing to do. And this is also a nice time to make a powerful intention for the day. You can use an affirmation. One of my favorite affirmations: may I be a channel of blessings for someone today. May I be a channel of blessings for someone today. I am the clearest possible channel of the highest possible blessings in the world. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. And like this, make any affirmation you like. You can select your own list of affirmations. And it's nice to remind yourself of these really powerful thoughts. So for example, what do beings experience in my presence? That's a good one. In my presence, beings receive an incorruptible seed of enlightenment. Wow, what a powerful one. In my presence, beings are seen for who they really are and not just what they pretend to be. So like this, you can find your own answer to the question in my presence, and that becomes a really powerful affirmation for you. And a really simple one that works for everyone is, I choose to make it a complaint-free day. I choose to make it a complaint-free day. I choose to fill this day with gratitude. I choose to make this the happiest day of my life. So like this, repeating some affirmations. And there's a wonderful teaching called 68 Seconds of Visualization. It comes from Abraham Hicks. And you visualize the BPO. BPO is the best possible outcome for about 68 seconds. And according to these teachings, 68 seconds is equal to 2 million action hours. So it's no small thing. And if you do just 3 times a day, 68 seconds, that's a very successful day. All right, so let's go ahead. 68 seconds of visualizing the best possible outcome for today or for anything in your life. So go ahead, 68 seconds. Let's start. Nice deep breath. And so it is. This or something better happens in a joyful and easeful way at the right time for the highest benefit of all. So we've included a little bit of visualization into our day. And like this, you can be more proactive. You don't have to wait for circumstances to line up. You use the power of intention, sankalp shakti, to shift the aspects of your life where you're feeling stuck. This is also a nice time if you like to play some gentle music. I like to play something inspiring music in the morning. It just gets the energy going. So if you want, you can just get the energy going, play some nice music. Another option at this time is a simple practice called Jin Shin Jitsu. And the most basic version of that is you just hold your fingers. So you could do this while you were doing the other bits of gratitude and affirmation and visualization, or you could do it separately. You just hold the thumb of any one hand, you wrap the other fingers around it. Just hold that for a few seconds. You can hold it anywhere from a few breaths to a few minutes. And this is great for also cultivating some body awareness. So bring your awareness to your thumb. Notice how it feels. It's like you're giving the thumb a hug. Giving the thumb a hug releases worry. Maybe that's why little kids suck their thumbs. You can move on to the index finger, wrap your other fingers around it. Move on to the middle finger. The index finger releases fear. The middle finger releases anger. Move on to your ring finger. Releases sadness, sorrow. And come to the pinky finger, represents trying too hard, not feeling good enough. And then touch the middle of the palm. Balances the entire body. So to remind you, the fingers, thumb represents worry, index finger is fear, middle finger is anger, sadness, and trying too hard or an inferiority complex. So the formula to remember it is end worry fast. Worry is thumb, F-A-S-T, fear, anger, sadness, trying too hard. Right, and you can repeat the same thing on the other hand as well, if you like. And any time of the day, it's lovely when you're not doing anything else. You can just hold your fingers. And it's the most basic version of Jin Shin Jitsu, which is a fantastic and very profound, actually, healing system. Great. And at this time, you might want to get out of bed, make your bed. That's actually supposed to be a really simple but powerful hack, just to make our own bed every morning. Because then no matter how your day goes, you come back to a made bed. So at least something's right in your world, right? It's a simple little tool. And then I like to practice something called Mayurma. Mayurma is a way of sending good wishes to everybody, loving wishes to everybody. So the way it goes is, and you can do this seated or standing, take your hands up, and gently bring them down, make a big heart in the air. You put one palm on top of the other, near your heart. And you're going to make a lying down eight, which is an infinity symbol, repeat it three times. Second is bigger. Third is huge. Bring it to your heart and say together, Mayurma. So we'll do it two more times. First time you do it for yourself, second time for others, third time for everybody. And what you're doing is you're making a symbol of a heart in the air and you're making a symbol of infinity in the air. And what this means is infinite love, infinite good wishes. So second time, wishing for everybody, all your friends and loved ones, like a big heart. Multiply by infinity, wishing everyone that you know, happy day, happy life, security, blessings. And we say together, Mayurma. Mayurma just means good wishes, loving wishes. And third time for the whole world, like a big one, nice big heart. Multiply by infinity. And we say from the middle of our heart, Mayurma. And making this beautiful symbol three times a day, at least for about a minute, you are continuously in a state of giving, giving. May all be happy. May all be well. I wish happiness for all beings. That's a really powerful sankalpa. That's a very powerful thought. And to have the sense that lene nahi dene aaye, I've not come to get, I've come to give. Lene nahi dene aaye, seva dene aaye hum. A very powerful thought that I've not just come to this world to get. I've come to this world to give. I've come to this world to share the awesomeness, the light that is within me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's the idea of Mayurma, right? You shift from what can I get today? How can I get appreciation today? How can I get some love today? How can I get some validation today? To what can I give today? And that changes everything. It's a shift from expectation to intention. Great. And throughout the day, you can also practice a mini Mayurma. You take two fingers, bring them down, cute heart, and multiply by infinity three times. You can even imagine a Mayurma. That also works. And then you can practice some water therapy. So I like to drink water from a blue bottle, blue glass bottle, but you can use any kind of bottle. This is nice. If you keep this blue bottle in the sun for an hour or more, you get blue charged water, which is nice. And you drink water. And one additional thing I've begun doing is, if you can get yourself some apple cider vinegar in the morning, and just put one tablespoon of apple cider vinegar in a big glass of water. I use a big glass of water like this. And you use apple cider vinegar, about a tablespoon. And that's actually really wonderful for cleansing your system. So drink water. How much water? 750 ml, a liter. This is called water therapy. You start your day with drinking a good amount of water. And this cleanses your entire system, hydrates your entire system. And that's a good time to... And so the interesting thing with water therapy is you do it before you brush your teeth, not after you brush your teeth, because there's healthy bacteria in your mouth. But if that's too difficult for you, you can brush your teeth. And then after that, you brush your teeth. And that's a good time to practice mirror greetings. Mirror greetings is you look in the mirror and you smile at yourself. And you look at your own eyes. And you say something kind and loving to yourself. One of the nice things is you can greet yourself. The highest in me bows to the highest in me. May this be the happiest day of my life. And like this, we say something nice and loving and kind, because we say it to our other loved ones and we meet them, we say good morning to them. But we sometimes neglect saying that to ourselves. And the primary relationship in this world is our relationship with ourselves. If that's not a healthy relationship, every other relationship is bound to be unhealthy, because we teach the world how to treat us. And when we don't love and respect and care for ourselves, then we can take it, then we take that kind of behavior from other people as well. When we love and cherish and care for ourselves, and this is the strongest relationship we have, every other relationship gets healthy. We're not so needy anymore, because we're giving ourselves. When we're giving the love and appreciation to ourselves, we're not always seeking it in all kinds of funny ways from others. And one really good affirmation to say in the mirror is, you say your name. So for example, I would say, "Dear Nitya, just for today, what if there's nothing wrong with you? Dear Nitya, just for today, what if there's nothing wrong with you? Nitya, just for today, what if there's nothing wrong with you?" It is so powerful to say this, because there are all of these niggling thoughts, not good enough, not good enough, not good enough. And we all tend to have them. Automatic negative thoughts, they're called ants, automatic negative thoughts. You replace that with this one really powerful thought, just for today. What if there's nothing wrong with you? Look directly into your eyes and say this. At this point, you can practice exercise and breath work. Now, there's a debate on this. Some people say you should do breath work first and exercise next. Some people say you should do exercise first and breath work next. In India, this is called asana pranayama. So again, I will let you decide for yourself. And this is a good time to practice one or both of these things, exercise and breath work. One very basic form of breath work, which is very powerful, is called Anulom Vilom Pranayama. You're breathing from alternate nostrils. This actually activates different parts of your brain. It's very, very powerful. Another very powerful form of breath work is called Kapalbhati. It's a Kriya. So all these things you can learn on your own, you can look them up. Kapalbhati is very good for ejecting a lot of the stale air in our lungs, and really oxygenates the body really well. And one of my favorites is the Wim Hof method. Wim Hof method is a method where you're breathing deeply and then you're retaining your breath for as long as you can. You do about three rounds of that. You can download an app and you can learn the Wim Hof method. W-I-M-H-O-F, Wim Hof. And Wim Hof is really powerful. He's a really cool person. He's broken all kinds of world records. And he's really shown how this breath work and exposing ourselves to cold has really powerful effects for our immunity. In other words, our body has far more wisdom and resilience than we ever imagined. And if you were to just tap into it, awaken that deeper inner immunity that we have, the resilience that we have, we don't need so many medicines in our life. And this is a good time now to meditate. So some of you joined today to meditate and you're wondering why so much talking is going on. So let's actually meditate for a little while. So go ahead. If you want to close your eyes, you can. So become aware of whatever is there in your experience. Could be sounds, sensations. Including thoughts. Meditation is simply being aware of what is happening without getting caught up in the outcome. In other words, experience for experience's sake, not to get something out of it. We let go of the calculating mind. And see if you can get in touch with, behind any sound you're hearing, there has to be some silence, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't be able to understand these words if there wasn't a background of silence. So now shift your attention from the words to the silence, from the sounds you're hearing to the background of silence. That silence is completely unaffected by the sounds. In the same way with any experience, could be a thought. Every thought arises on a background of no thought. If there was thought behind a thought, then you would be very confused, isn't it? There has to be a background of no thought. So now focus, defocus from the thought and bring the background into your attention. The background is pure attention. In the same way with any sensation, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Behind any sensation is non-sensation. And defocus away from sensation. Focus on the stillness, the silence, the non-sensation. So in other words, we are recognizing silence and we are recognizing flow. Sound is flow. Background of sound is silence. Thoughts keep flowing. background is silence. Sensations, emotions keep flowing. Background is again stillness, silence. So we use discrimination, discernment, to distinguish between the flow and the silence. And now we will go beyond discernment and recognize that the stillness and the silence are one. The dancer and the stage is one. Shiva and Shakti are one. And this is oneness, unity consciousness. This is also emptiness, because there's no other. In other words, you are not living life. There's just life. The purpose of meditation is to lose the meditator. And if a part of you says, I don't understand this, I don't know where this is going, acknowledge that. Notice the silence behind that. And see if there's a difference, there's a gap between the thought and the silence. Or is it like a wave that is not different from the ocean? So the straightforward summary of this practice: notice silence, notice flow, notice the non-separation of silence and flow. Thank you. bathing in the river of being. This is what we've been thirsting for. This is what reliably quenches the thirst. Not becoming, not having, not doing. Well, that's fine. Being. From a state of being. Let all the doing emerge. Let all the having and getting and becoming emerge if it has to. But let being be primary, not an afterthought. The fastest way to happiness is happiness. Fastest way to peace is peace. Fastest way to joy is joy. Not doing something for joy. So reclaim your inheritance. You're not a beggar in this world. It's all available to you. Everything you seek is right here now. We conclude our meditation practice with infinite blessings, infinite blessings, infinite blessings to yourself. You're a great being who's chosen to incarnate into limitation, incarnate into the assumption of being a body and mind. Incarnate into a stream, a lineage, with all kinds of imprints coming from ancestors, coming from culture, coming from all kinds of things. You're a really courageous being, adventurous being, willing to come into this dream, willing to forget, just to remember again. Infinite blessings. Infinite blessings. And then expanding these infinite blessings in all directions, in all dimensions, across space and time, including everyone you know and don't know, you've met and not met, you've seen and not seen, visible, invisible, human, non-human, living, non-living, in all dimensions of space and time, infinite blessings, including specifics, some specific situation, specific person. Infinite blessings. see where these blessings want to go. They're intelligent. They'll tell you where they want to go. And then give your full attention to that person, that situation. These infinite blessings come in four flavors: Ananta Maitri, infinite loving friendliness; Ananta Karuna, infinite compassion; Ananta Mudita, infinite appreciative joy; Ananta Upeksha, infinite equanimity of mind, balance of mind. And based on the context, the blessing will take that shape, that form. Infinite blessings. Every time you practice awareness, you don't really practice awareness, you come home to awareness. You get in touch with the field. And every time you practice infinite blessings, you interact with the field. You participate in the field. You play. So a good summary for life is meditate and play. Meditate and play. Meditate and play. Notice the field, interact with the field. Acknowledge the field and impregnate the field with the most exalted, refined, and lively intentions that are available to you. Just empty yourself, which means let go of all of this. I'll take a slow deep breath. If you want to rub your palms together, you can. You can rub your eyes. Over your face. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Very nice, very nice. So there are two fruits of meditation or any genuine spiritual practice. You will see everything as the activity of nothing. And you will see everything as the activity of grace. And when you perceive everything as the activity of nothing, it's like a dream, nothing substantial here. You see through the illusion. That's wisdom. When you see everything as the activity of grace, infinite blessings at play, that's gratitude, that's love. And between these two, wisdom and gratitude, love, that is life at its fullest. If you want to have a full life, you have to discover that there is nobody here, nobody home. It's life experiencing life. Then life really liberates itself. Life actually wants to liberate itself from all these hang-ups we've created. And that's the game life has chosen to play. Right. So great. So a few more things. It's nice in the morning to do some inspiring reading. You can read any book that you find inspiring. If you're more of a listening kind of person, you can listen as well to an audiobook. You can read a scripture, you can read any kind of book, but make sure it's like really high quality, right? It's like you would not put any low quality food into your system. If you know it's dirty, it's stale, you would not put it into your system. Then why would you put low quality thoughts into your system? So in this beautiful state of having come out of meditation, I would encourage you to stay away from newspapers. That's not the consciousness you want to get into. Right? Pick up something that is really meaningful, inspiring, because your anything you read at this time, right after meditation, has a very deep impact. It goes right in. Right? It impregnates your consciousness very deeply. So read something ennobling, inspiring, uplifting, meaningful like that. And don't just read it passively, read it actively, which means ask yourself, is there anything here worth remembering? Anything here worth practicing? Anything here worth reflecting on? Are there any questions here that I want to ask myself? How does it relate to my life? So it's not just passively reading something to get knowledge. You're actively reading with a mind of application. And that changes everything. A lovely teaching is read less, but read twice. Read less, but read twice. Because we remember 2 to 5% of what we read once. We remember more than 30% of what we read twice. So it's nice to revisit what you're reading. Another good thing to do at this time is to also, at least I like to do it, is to write. So you can journal. Because after you've meditated and you've read, typically some beautiful insights start emerging. So you might want to journal that or write it down. And start putting your thoughts together. See what's coming. There's a lovely practice called morning pages. You just write 3 pages every day. Doesn't matter what you write, you just write 3 pages every day. It's very beautiful. It's very cathartic to just write like that. And even if nothing is coming, you'll say, nothing is coming, nothing. Don't know what to write, don't know what to write. And at some point, something will come. That could be one version. But the point is write. Write. Put your thoughts together. And this is also a good time to review your vision, your goals, your intuitions, your wishes. Your intentions, your wishes. What are some of the larger goals you have in life, visions you have in life? And it's worth reflecting on. Because if you're not clear about what's expanding you and inspiring you, you're going to just end up blindly fulfilling somebody else's agenda. Right? The one who has the most clarity has the most influence. So you get clear. When you get clear, it'll be easier for you to say no. When people are inviting you to do things that are not really in alignment with you. Right. So very important to revisit. And if you haven't done it yet, then start thinking about it. You know, before you know it, this life will be over. What is worth focusing on? what is worth, you can't do every single thing. This idea that I'll do every single thing is not going to happen, right? That's not going to, that's not going to satisfy you. So it's precious. Where are you going to focus your energies in this lifetime? You can't learn every single musical instrument. You can learn maybe one or two, maybe more. All right, if you're, some people are gifted like that, but what is it you want to really go deep into? And give it everything you got. I'm so fortunate, really, that, you know, I tried so many things as a teenager, or even before that. I tried painting, I tried music, I tried this and that, I tried horse riding, I tried martial arts. And I would, after a while, get bored of everything. And when I came to meditation, something deep inside of me said, don't drop this one. This is like the master key. Don't drop this one. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how tedious it seems, no matter how slow your progress is, just stick with it. Just stick with it. And that's one promise I've kept to myself. I just stuck with it. So like this, what are you going to stick with? That you will be grateful to yourself. I stuck with it. I went deep into it. I wasn't just an inch deep and a mile wide. I allowed myself at least sometimes to be an inch wide and a mile deep. Wonderful. So review your goals, your vision, your intention. Another way to ask this question is, what experiences do you want to have in this lifetime before you die? Of course, at one level, you don't die, but anyway, just for the conventional sake. So what experiences do you want to have? How do you want to grow as a person? How do you want to grow? What skills do you want to learn? What do you want to get better at? What do you want to practice, in other words? So the first one is experiences. Second one, how do you want to grow? Do you want to learn languages? Do you want to learn certain skills? What do you want to invest in like that? And the third one is, what contributions do you want to make? How do you want to leave this world, well, a better place? As we ennoble ourselves, the world, because the world is completely interlinked with us. There's no other world out there. But nevertheless, how do you want to leave the world a better place? Three good questions to ask ourselves. This can help you refine and define your vision. Another good way is, you interview yourself before you die. You interview yourself just before death, and you ask yourself, what made your life unsuccessful? What made your life enormously successful? And you're going to get answers that match your values, that are right for you, that are not coming from just culture and society, that are coming from you. The best exercise you can do. I did it when I was in my late teens, and changed everything. It just, all the other values people were imposing on me, I just said, no, it's not my value. That's them, that's not me. And I was able to more audaciously follow inner guidance in this way. And after you revisit your goals and vision and intentions, you might feel a little bit of, oh, it's too difficult, it's not happening, this, that block. That's a good time to do some unburdening. And a few ways to do unburdening is, you can learn a process called tapping, EFT or tapping. It's a great way to unburden. Whatever you're feeling, is tap. Tapping is a great way to unburden. Another great way to unburden is Ho'oponopono. Whatever comes up, whatever you're noticing, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you. In fact, throughout the day, that's one of the best practices. No matter what's coming up, throughout the day, memories will keep coming up. Sanskaras will keep coming up. Impressions will keep coming up. Because we don't just see life, we see our baggage connected to everything that's happening in our life. You see a person, you remember what they did to you last, right? And based on if they were kind to you or mean to you, your reaction comes from there. So all these impressions that are coming up, do you want to live from memory your whole life, or do you want to live from inspiration? If you want to live from inspiration, you've got to clean up. The way you clean up, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Sorry for what? Sorry for believing every single thought. Mostly inaccurate neurodrama. Mind, M-I-N-D. Mostly inaccurate neurodrama. I'm sorry for believing every single thought that comes up. Sorry for being hypnotized so easily. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. These impressions are coming up. They just want to be loved. If you love them, they're going to say goodbye to you forever. If you judge them, they just go back and multiply. So love them. Love every single thing that comes up. I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you just have one mantra, just keep saying thank you. That's your path to liberation right there. Say thank you for the rest of your life. Shukran. Shukran. That's your wide royal road to full awakening right there. And if you really can't figure it out, surrender. I don't get it. Please help. Plenty of help is available. You've got to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, then you've got to trudge through it yourself. You ask for help. and like this. And then the morning routine can end with a little prioritization. In this day, what are the important things? It's nice to have top three things instead of having a list that are 30 things long. And even if you do have a list that's 30 things long, what are the top three things I want to do today? Prioritize. And that kind of prioritization can really help structure your day. So you write 1, 2, 3, top three things for today. I'll definitely do this. It gives a lot of structure to your day. And then during the day, continue with your interstitial journal. So between activities, note the time, note what just happened, note how you're feeling, and then note the next thing you want to do. This takes 2 minutes. It's really powerful. It keeps your frontal brain in operation. It's one of the best ways to have a much more conscious life. OTMs and MBAs. OTMs are opportunities to move throughout the day. Keep finding opportunities to move. So for example, take a phone call while walking. I recently came across this teaching which talks about the benefits of walking in figure eights. So in my room, I just walk in figure eights. And a phone call lasts 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. So you're walking continuously in figure eights. And it's great. So like this, find opportunities to move throughout the day. And MBA stands for move, breathe, and appreciate. So throughout the day, move. Don't just keep sitting. Don't be so sedentary. And breathe, breathe deeply. You can practice Wim Hof, a round of Wim Hof anytime in the day. It'll immediately energize you. And appreciate. Focus on what's right. Focus on what's right and what can be right, as opposed to what's wrong and what can be wrong. Shift your mental habit like that. See if you can get fresh air and sunlight instead of being indoors all the time. Yes. And you can practice hyperfocus, catafocus. Hyperfocus is to decide for some time, next 25 minutes, I will focus only on this task. Take a 5 minute break. Then again, this task. It's also called Pomodoro technique. But the point is hyperfocus. Hyperfocus is you bring your full attention to what you're doing. Right now, this is hyperfocus. I'm giving you the best of what I know of how to start our day in the best possible way, right? So this is hyperfocus. But after a while, scatterfocus. Hyperfocus is productive, scatterfocus is creative. And we need both. You can't be hyperfocused all the time, right? So keep balancing between hyperfocus, scatterfocus. And you'll find your energy levels remain very high throughout the day. All right, so this is what I wanted to share with you. And happy to take any questions. There's a question here. What's your opinion of the 20-20-20 morning routine developed by Robin Sharma, who suggests we start our day with 20 minutes of movement, 20 minutes of reflection, and 20 minutes of learning? Fantastic. It's really great. Yeah. I'm not sure if Robin Sharma developed it. I've heard about it before him as well, but it's fine. Yeah. Hour of power. 20 minutes movement, 20 minutes perspiration, 20 minutes meditation. 20 minutes inspiration, right? That's a good one. So the thing is, I'm just giving you ideas. You find the one that works for you. There are many versions of this. There's a sphere of silence, which is a great reflection practice as well. Where does one fit in sphere of silence? Well, you don't have to. I teach a lot of things. You don't have to do every single thing, right? So you can do whatever. If you want to do sphere of silence, then I'm just giving you a suggested way of practicing. If you wake up a little earlier in the morning, you can sphere of silence is a 1 hour practice normally. 10 minutes reflect on yesterday, 10 minutes today, 10 minutes tomorrow. Read something for 15 minutes, reflect on it, summarize what you read for 5 minutes, and then just be quiet for the last 10 minutes. That's a 1 hour practice. Great. What made my life successful? Successful as in the worldly way? No, Aparna, it's for you. It's not for what the world is saying successful. When you're dying and you ask yourself, did you have a fulfilled life? You interview yourself. Did you have a successful life? In your own terms, not on somebody else's terms. A simple definition of success is to have shiny eyes. People in the world who have shiny eyes are successful. People in this world who have dull eyes are not successful. Simple as that. So you find your own definition of success. Benjamin Zander says, to be surrounded by people with shiny eyes is success. I think I'm pretty successful. Wherever I go in the world, sooner or later, people around me start having shiny eyes. I'm a successful person. This is a good definition of success, much more than what society gives us. So like this, can you define success in your own way? What's the most ideal time to wake up and practice this routine? Well, you know, the thing is, some of us are more, they're actually found that in humanity, some of us wake up early, some of us like to wake up a little later. And literally, we've been designed like that in humanity. So I'm not going to say a suggested time, because some of you, you actually function better waking up a little bit later. And some of you function better waking up a little earlier. But the classic thing is Brahma Muhurtam, right? So the time, the 3 hours before sunrise, has all kinds of special benefits. So if you can manage that, if your body clock allows you, then that's a good time. But don't feel handicapped by that. Find a time that works for you. The main thing, you should be alert and awake. I was never too good. We had to, in our monastery, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And it, for me, it was not the ideal time, honestly. But there is something to that time. There's no denying that. In fact, I'm offering a course we're going to be doing early morning practice for a while. But that's partly also because it fits into a lot of people's routines better. If you want to do 3 hours of practice, waking up early can do it. Rest of the day may not do it. Some of the comments. Interstitial journaling is a kind of journaling. Interstitial means in the gaps. Interstitial. Can I type it out for you? Interstitial journaling. Beautiful. Any other? Put the question in the Q&A section, then I won't miss it. What is the significance of rubbing one's palm and putting them over your face? It's actually a yogic practice called palming. And the simple thing to do also is that you're just energizing your eyes. You can have your eyes. It's also a nice, gentle way to come out of meditation instead of just opening your eyes all of a sudden. It's quite startling. And of course, you can also meditate with open eyes, just to make that clear. You can meditate with open eyes. In fact, it's a very powerful way to meditate with open eyes. But yeah, if you do close your eyes, it's a nice, gentle way to come out of practice. It's also got some benefits for the eyes and things. Good. Nice. What's the second 20 minute of the hour of power? So we have perspiration, we have meditation, and we have inspiration. That's the three parts of hour of power. Another good practice is savers, S-A-V-E-R-S. You can look up a book called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. Savers is 5 minutes of silence. S for silence. A is affirmation, 5 minutes of affirmation. V is visualization, 5 minutes of visualization. E is exercise, 15 minutes of exercise, 15 to 20 minutes. S-A-V-E-R is for reading, 20 minutes of reading. I think 20 minutes of exercise, 20 minutes of reading. And last 5 minutes of scribing. Just make note down, thoughts. Which in a way is very similar to what we learned today. I didn't give it in that particular format, but it's very similar to what we learned today, but S-A-V-E-R-S. So you find the protocol that works for you. In fact, I would say learn from many protocols, including me, and then find the one that works for you, because that's when it becomes your own, right? The last finger is trying too hard. Good. Some of you want to see what's on my shirt. Happy teachers change the world. And each one of you can be a happy teacher. You don't have to be a formal teacher. We all are teachers to each other. So be happy. And that's the best lesson you can give. Can you add the miracle of love? Yeah. So the power of intention, after we meditated, we did an infinite blessing. That's the point where you can do a miracle of love as well. Loving wishes, like 5 minute miracle, sending good wishes to any person or situation. You can do it there. S for savers is silence. 5 minutes of silence. You can sit in silence or you can walk in silence. Quite interesting. Just walk for 5 minutes in silence. Don't look at your phone. A is for affirmation. V is for visualization. E is for exercise. R is for reading. And S is for scribing. Beautiful. Lovely. So we'll have another session on Friday. And then we'll have 6 or 7. You're welcome to join. And we'll have another session, graduation ceremony, on Sunday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. India time. And you're all welcome. Let's end with a nice Mayurma. And we say together, Mayurma. Just for today, what if there's nothing wrong with you? All right, everyone. Have a good one.